In today's society, you've probably noticed that there's a lot of calls to action. If any of you have followed the news, you've seen there's been a lot of calls to strike by the unions, not just the auto unions, but many other unions around the U.S. A statistic said that there's been 312 strikes so far, with over 450,000 people involved in these labor disputes. There's a lot of calls to stand for social injustice, to stand against governments illegally taking children from their parents. And many churches have answered the call when we stood for those families that were hurt by those governments. There's calls to stand for people that are hurt, for victims of war. There's many opportunities to get involved, many calls to action. And there's many good actions that we can get involved in. On the other hand, many answer the call to do evil. Many answer the call to rape, kill, plunder, destroy. Because the truth is, it's easier to destroy than to build. The thing is that in all this noise, and all these different calls to action, many are becoming deaf to the most important call of all. God calling every single person to repentance. Calling every single person to salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, repentance is the answer to all the real or perceived social injustices that are seen today. But this lack of repentance has led many to their own demise and destruction. As the Word of God tells us in Proverbs, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. But God has a call for those that have already answered the call to repentance. In other words, God has a call for you and for me who have been chosen, who have been saved by faith through grace. And tonight I want to look at this as we see it in 2 Peter chapter 1, what I call a three-part call. It's one call, and it's for all who have been saved. And we see it in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1, as Peter wrote his second letter to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why tonight's message is for you, it's for me, for those that have been saved by Christ. In a message that I've entitled, God's Call Upon Your Life. And the first part of this call that is upon every one of our lives is the call to sanctification. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, we see this. The Word of God tells us, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We're told in this passage that God has provided to us all the tools, all the knowledge, all the instruction, all the strength for living out our daily lives, for our day-to-day living. In the Word of God, it talks about various topics such as marriage, family, relationship with friends, relationship with governments, our relationship with money. We have all the tools that we need in the Word of God. Not only that, we've been given all the things that pertain to godliness, how we should live our godly lives, our pious lives, how, when, where, with whom to worship, how to live righteous lives. God has given us all that we need to be able to live and to worship Him. And He's given us all the instructions that we need to be able to do that. not only do we have all these things that pertain to our lives and to godliness, but through Jesus, we have then his precious and very great promises. Promises such as, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will send you a helper. I will fight your battles. I go to the Father and prepare a place so that where I am, you will also be. I am coming soon and my reward is with me. And so many other promises that we have. You see, we have all these things that pertain to life and godliness. We have Jesus' great promises so that we may partake in the divine nature. This divine nature, if we were to the way we look at it, is holy, is holiness, is righteousness, is loving, is just. And we cannot partake of this divine nature if we are still our old selves. If we do not go through this process of sanctification, we cannot partake into holiness. You see, we have all these things, all these great promises. And the call, therefore, is to sanctification, to sanctify our lives. Because we cannot partake in this old, we cannot partake in this divine nature with our old, corrupt self. We are called to take up our cross daily and to crucify our sinful desires. In chapter 3 of the same letter, Peter tells the naysayers that Jesus isn't coming back, the scoffers. He tells them that Jesus is coming back again. He's bringing judgment and he will judge this world with fire. And then in verse 11, he tells them, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Beloved church, let's answer the call to sanctification. The second part of God's call upon our lives, for those of us that have been saved by the blood of Christ, is the call to sacrifice. In verses 5 through 7, the Word of God tells us, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Peter says that since God has given us all that we need to live and be godly, we need to now make all the effort, but it's not really, the word is better translated as we need to be eager. It needs to come out of us a real desire, a burning desire, it's not a burden, but a real desire to supplement our faith, to furnish our faith. Better explain, how do we adorn our temple? What beautiful things do we put in our temple? These qualities that he lists out will not save us. These seven qualities here are not the key to salvation. The only key to salvation is faith through Jesus Christ. But these seven qualities, without faith, they're just that. Great qualities that we should look for. But in order to have these qualities in our lives, it takes real sacrifice. And I want to go through these quickly. The first quality, virtue, or excellence of character. And I remember Psalm 1, the man that delights in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. But you see, instead of excellence, mediocrity is today's norm. It's easier to compromise. It's easier to receive a participation ribbon. But it's harder. It takes real sacrifice to excel in singing, in worshiping, in leading worship. It takes real sacrifice to excel in preaching. The second quality is knowledge. And the Word of God tells us in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, it's easier to ask Google for answers. It's easier to find solutions through ChatGPT. It's easier to let others read the word and preach it. But it takes sacrifice to read and meditate on his word day and night. The third one, self-control. In Proverbs, we have this image of a man with no self-control. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. It's easier to let go. It's easier to let go, party. Everything goes, no filters. It's easier to waste time than to use it wisely. It's easier to insult than to temper our tongues and use words of encouragement. It takes sacrifice. The first quality, steadfastness or endurance. In James, we're told, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. But it's easier to bail on your friends than to be there for them when they really need you. It's easier to give up when things are hard. It's easier to quit. But it takes sacrifice to stay on your knees in prayer and to wait on the Lord. The fifth one, godliness. Paul tells Timothy, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. See, it's easier to look pious, but it takes real sacrifice to walk the walk of the saints. Sixth one, brotherly affection. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he told his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. But it's easier to slander. It's easier to spread lies. It's easier to bring down people. It's harder to love the brother and the sister in the pew next to you. The seventh one, love. And in Corinthians, we have beautiful definition of love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. All that and so much more. But it's easier to hate the terrorists. It's easier to hate the murderers and the rapists. But it takes real sacrifice to love your enemies and to love the lost. We as God's people are called to sacrifice our ego, ourself, because there's a real danger if we don't. We'll fall back on our old ways in life. In verse 9, Peter tells us, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is actually blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Beloved church, let's never forget the price that was paid for our sins, the price that was paid for us to be saved. Therefore, let's answer the call to sacrifice our egos. The third part of God's call upon our lives for those of us that have been saved is the call to serve God's kingdom. You see, the purpose of these qualities is to help us become useful and productive members of God's kingdom. In verse 8, we're told, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason for the call to sanctification, the reason we are called to sacrifice so much of our ego, is so that we can be able to reach the lost, to generate fruit. You see, the process of sanctification draws us closer to God, where we have a personal relationship with Him, where we hear His voice and we know His plan for our lives. And through sacrificing our ego and ourselves, then Christ's character is built up in us and is reflected as we reach out to the lost. As we sang earlier, lead me in your love to those around us. But if we're full of ourselves, if we have not gone through this process of sanctification, what will the world see in us? Will they see more of us, of our egos, of our fleshly desires? Or will they see Jesus in us? And we're called to serve in the kingdom of God with the gifts that God has chosen to bestow upon every one of us. As Paul tells the Corinthians, there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. You see, if you want to see these pews filled with people hungry for the Lord, then it's time to answer God's call in our lives to serve the kingdom. And beloved church, that time is now. You see, answering God's call upon our lives is not something easy. But we're called to do it diligently and with eagerness. This is not a three-step program, sanctification, sacrifice, and serving. This is something that needs to happen every single day. Every single day, we're supposed to take that cross and crucify ourselves, crucify our egos, to go through the process of sanctification through the Word, to sacrifice so much so that people can see Christ in us as we reach out to the lost, as we reach out to those that need to hear the message of hope. In verses 10 and 11, Peter continues and says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent or eager to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we faithfully answer God's call upon our lives, we have the promise of a great reception into God's eternal, everlasting kingdom. As Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. See, if you've answered the call to repentance in your life, if you've chosen Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then answer God's call upon your life to sanctification, to sacrifice, and to serve. Let's answer God's call upon Emmanuel Church. But if tonight you have not chosen Jesus, tonight is the moment to answer the most important call upon our lives. Choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen.